Log Talk Radio.
I'm pushing you away from me, hoping this is make believe. I caught your name in the rain. Why the fuck you put me to shame? I'm crawling deep within my skin. Will this pain ever end? I'm lost, awakening within my torches that will now begin.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Voltage Paranormal Radio. This is your host, Madman 2012, along with your co-host, Lex Hotep, the mighty, mighty Nazi. What is it we call you now?
The Nazi UFO Nazi, Commander.
The Nazi UFO Commander. Okay, I guess he's in control of a Nazi UFO.
Flying above your house. I'm coming to get you tonight.
Coming to get you. Look out. Here comes. here comes the Nazi UFO Commander. Boy, Alex, I missed the first show. We had a little bit of a issue had to handle. But I think we were going to talk today about, and I'll let you take off with this.
The ruins on the moon and Mars and the Baltic Sea UFO.
The Baltic Sea UFO, yes. I've heard of it. I've seen it. I've read about it. And I'm not sure that they have released any of the evidence or any of the information on the anomaly itself, speaking about the Baltic Sea UFO. So why don't you update us on what's going on?
Well, they're trying to get down to it, but every time they get above it, it shuts down their electronics. You know, they can't use any side scan sonar or any of their electronics or anything like that. It just shuts them right down when they get it right over it. And so they're trying to go down and check it out, but like I say, it just shuts them down.
Well, I think the last thing I heard, and it's been a couple of years, was that the scientific expedition or team that was investigating were shut down because of lack of funding, and that there wasn't going to be any more investigation of the anomaly because they decided that it was just a large rock of some sort. So obviously there's no truth to that. Once again, they're probably massive amounts of government interference, you know, and misinformation out there. Because from what I understand and from what I've seen now, and I've seen probably what everybody else has seen, it's definitely a foreign object. It's not natural. It is totally an unnatural object. Totally either man-made or otherworldly made somehow, you know.
Right.
And it's definitely. Yeah, it is. It's in the Baltic Sea.
It's been there about 12,000 years, they think, because they're in the sea. About 12,000.
Right, because that's when the sea formed. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, and it looks like there's a runway for it and everything. It's pretty impressive. Dr. Stephen Greer had a post on Facebook about it today, and that got me back interested in it.
What did he ever say?
Just that the electronics are failing every time they went over it, and they go a little ways away from it and their stuff starts working again. So it's just highly anomalous.
Well, if Dr. Stephen Greer is commenting on it, then that definitely the government's involved, because he is probably you know, the poster boy for misinformation and government interference. I think, in my opinion anyway, he is, because he, not that he's a bad guy or anything, but I just think that he gets his paycheck, you know, from the federal government, you know. Too many times I've seen him and heard him debunking credible evidence as if it were, you know, Saturn, like they used to. Oh, it's just Saturn, or it's just a weather balloon or something like that. So, and then diverting attention
right.
to something totally, totally irrelevant. You know, so I don't really trust his take on much. But, you know, if he's saying that, there's probably some credibility to that. But, because, you know, in any lie, you know, there's about 90% truth. Any good lie, anyway, you got about 90% truth involved and then 10% lie or 10% misinformation in order to throw you off the trail. So talking about him, and then we're going to also talk about the what appears to be bases upon the moon, ancient moon base, not new that I know of. Are we going to talk about ancient, or do we have something new developed?
Well, I've been reading Mike Barra's book, Ancient Aliens on the Moon, and he's got a lot of good photographs in there. One is, actually there are a couple. There's a pyramids, and there's also ziggurats. And just think about it. I mean, who built the ziggurats and the pyramids here on Earth?
Well, we've got the Mayans, the Incans were rabid. You know, they built a lot of ziggurat style, a lot of Middle Eastern. I mean, they're all over the world. They have got them in Eastern Europe. All over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Pyramids, too. They're all over the place. So I imagine that ancient man built them, you know.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, ancient man built it. But, I don't want to say a well-known fact. I guess it is in our field. A fact. It's something we've come to accept as a truth because all the evidence points to it, that there was a civilization that was on this earth, a worldwide network, not just an isolated civilization, but mankind all together shared a technology that allowed them to travel not only the solar system, but perhaps the universe itself. And the evidence
right.
is not only in the writings of the Chinese and our Native Americans and the stories of the Indians. When I say Indian, I mean from India, the Buddhists, and the people there, but the ancient Sumerians and Mesopotamians as well, Babylonians. I mean, the evidence is everywhere with the stories. China, but also it looks like we're finding evidence, you know, and have found evidence more and more located in not only the moon but Mars as well.
Yeah, you're speaking of Mars. Tesla sent a message to Mars, and they had a radio blackout one day. Everybody, you know, blacked out their communications on radio for one day, and Tesla sent a message to Mars and got a picture back, and it looks like the face on Mars, the actual picture that he got back. Looks like the face on Mars. So that's pretty interesting.
Well, it is very interesting. And Nikola Tesla, being the brilliant mind he was, and, you know, one of my favorites of all time, of course, this man is... You know, the technology we see today, the UFOs that we see today, that we experience today, that people call UFOs, I think, and this is opinion when I say this, when you see the large wing-shaped vehicles, the ships, the triangular ships with the lights on them. Phoenix Lights being a good example, and some of the other sightings of the large triangular ships that appear to have the ability to mask themselves, disappear, move at speeds that are incredibly impossible, that we believe, incredibly hard and it seem to be impossible, are a direct result of the government's, when they took Tesla's technology, when I think they actually had him probably murdered, because this man was wanting to broadcast electricity to everybody, broadcast free electricity to everyone, and it just wasn't going to happen.
Yes.
But his technology went far beyond the Tesla coil. I mean, we're talking about the death ray. He developed propulsion systems he developed ideas for propulsion systems. I don't know if he developed propulsion systems himself for vehicles that could utilize gravity itself, manipulate it, and move in and out. Instead of like moving from point A to point B, bringing point B to point A, and you're instantly there. You see what I mean?
Right. You mentioned Tesla getting murdered. For the listeners, we've had a show on that, and it was very enlightening on our other station here on Blog Talk Radio, Voltage Paranormal Investigations. And you can just Google Voltage Paranormal Investigations, and it'll come up with the show with Eric Orion. And he talks about how the witches were involved in the murder of Tesla.
And I wouldn't doubt it. There's no doubt that the Bushes have been involved in a lot of nefarious. It seems to me every time, even in recent history, or in the last 15 years, every time there's something questionable, look at what happened. I mean, look. There's this thing called Occam's Razor. You're familiar with what it is, right?
Yes, but go ahead and remind us.
Well, Occam's Razor is whatever. But generally, it's just whatever the most logical explanation for something is probably what it is. You know what I'm saying? So you see, the hanging Chad of Florida, Bush wins the election because of Florida, right? Well, whose brother was the governor of Florida at the time? His brother, and then you've got the controversy there. Come on, man. Look, it doesn't take a freaking... Anybody can put two and two together and get four on that deal. If it looks like... Listen, if it looks like they're up to something, they probably are. And what a happy little accident. My point being is that the Bushes have been... They're nefarious. And have been involved in it for many years, going back to George's dad. And I'm talking about George Sr.'s dad. In many ways, criminal activity, at the very least. I mean, I look back in the 90s at their other son who stole all that money from that savings and loan, embezzled all that money, and then got off completely because his dad was president. I don't remember the son's name, but it was the other Bush boy, I mean, these people are just terrible people, in my opinion. And I'm not a Democrat either. so it's not hard, it's not easy for me to say. I'm not really a Republican either, so. Hey man, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. You know what I mean? But what are we talking about when we're dealing with these anomalies on Mars? What do we know new? Anything new that you've come in contact with? Any new evidence?
I've been thinking a lot about it, and you know, Mars is only about a third of the size of Earth, and only has about a third of the gravity. So the natural, if there was life on Mars, when it evolved, it probably evolved a lot bigger than like, you know, what we have here. Because
like
of the less gravity pool.
Kind of like the dinosaurs could not live on this planet today. They could, but they wouldn't be that big. You would have, you know, simply our gravity would crush under their own weight at the size that some of these, you know, beasts became. I'm just saying.
So I'm thinking that the Nephilim could have been from Mars, you know, the giants of old in the Bible.
Well, do you think maybe the whole idea of the destruction of the Nephilim, i.e. the flood, may have actually took place on Mars instead of here?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
We do know that in certain African mythology, it does state that we were brought here because of a tragedy or a catastrophe on another nearby planet by the occupants of this planet who were not human.
Right. And there's very good scientific evidence now that supports the idea that there was water, like lakes and oceans and stuff on Mars as recently as 10,000 years ago.
Well, isn't there evidence that there's water on Mars now, i.e. the poles?
Yes.
It may be frozen water, but it may be frozen water, but still water.
That's right. It's still
there. Isn't there also evidence that the pictures of Mars that we see, the atmosphere actually is blue sky?
Yes. Yes, NASA airbrushes a lot of the pictures and manipulates the actual colors. For some reason, everyone is thinking it's a red planet. I don't know why.
Well, it is. It is red because of the oxidation, I guess, the iron oxides. But it actually has a small atmosphere, and it has a blue sky.
What is iron oxide? That's rust. What does rust feed off of?
Yeah,
well,
iron
water and oxygen.
It's oxidation, is it not? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's what turns
it.
Right.
So obviously there was oxygen
on Mars
at
one time. I'm not sure that that's highly debated, that one time that Mars was a living planet that actually had. Now, here's what I've heard too, Alex, that, you know, in order to be a living planet, you got to have a core. And that a long time ago, the core of Mars was extinguished. It's just a big dead rock up there. I'm hearing different, that there may be some tectonic activity going on, i.e. some kind of core.
Well, it also has these bulges on each side, on the left and right side of Mars, these bulges that stick out, and that's due to having oceans from a centrifugal force of having an ocean.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much proof that there were oceans there. So,
well, there were.
You got water.
There were lakes. There were lakes. There were oceans. There had to be that to be the color, even if, you know, being red. I mean, to have the oxidation that it has, there was water on that planet, and I think it's pretty much agreed that there still is today, even scientifically, that there's water. But my point being is that they're saying that there's no atmosphere, completely uninhabitable. Blah 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 blah. But that there actually is an atmosphere, because I see that they're saying they're airbrushing the blue skies out. When the rover landed and started to take a panoramic picture of the horizon, that it actually picked up pictures of a blue sky.
And you know, when the first Viking order landed on Mars, it actually came back, you know, it did some tests for life, and it came back positive for life. And they just ignored that.
Brother, I think life, here's, you know what, and that's interesting you say that, because I, you know, I read a lot, you read a lot, we both do investigate a lot. Not that we're out here in the field and we're actually going to Mars. We don't actually work for NASA, but we know people that do, and we talk to people that do. We get good information. But, you know, I think life is abundant everywhere. And when I say everywhere in this universe, I mean everywhere. And I'm talking even in deep space. Because, you know, these anomalies that we've seen, NASA has shown pictures of these, I don't know how, they look like big, I don't know, like jelly, like glowing orbish donut looking thing. They're round with a hole in them, or hexagonal with a hole in the middle. And they're saying they're UFOs, but they're flashing like a biological light, like certain jellyfish and stuff does in the ocean, you know, like a biological type, like a, you know, driven type, like they're communicating, you know, like a light.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Like jelly, like life in the ocean, all of our life in the oceans do, like certain jellyfish and other things. I think it's actual biological life. I don't think it's a UFO at all. I think it's a team of it or a swarm of something that lives out there.
Lives in space, or
yes, lives in space, right at the edge of the earth.
Wow.
Lives right there, in between here and there. It's like it's a vast freaking ocean out there of different, perhaps, and I think we'll find out soon, different types of biological life. Just because our bodies, our life forms, cannot withstand the pressure or the lack of, or, you know, the cold, doesn't mean something didn't evolve that couldn't. And I think life is abundant.
That reminds me of Jose Escamilla and his rods. Have you heard about that phenomena, the rod phenomena?
No, go ahead and tell us.
Well, Jose Escamilla, who's another investigator in this field, has photographed and videotaped some what he thinks are creatures that he calls rods, and they just move
the
real
rods,
real
yeah.
fast.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of evidence for these. Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So,
anyway,
I mean,
that's another
life form.
Absolutely, there are a lot of unknown life forms. You know, tons of stuff that we're not aware of. We don't catalog. We don't know, you know, much as we think we do. We don't know everything. I don't care what evolutionists tell you. Okay,
right.
They're full of shit. They're full of shit, and their religion sucks. I don't fall for it. But you, all right? I want to get back to this. I'm trying to think of the. It's a NASA video shot from STS, I forget which STS mission it was. They were repairing something, the space station, repairing something on the space station. And they caught these photos
mm-hmm.
of these translucent, hexagonal, round-type shapes, kind of got a hole maybe in the middle of it, you know, type thing. And they were flashing light from the body of itself, and it reminded me of certain types of jellyfish, not of UFOs.
Well, you know that what it reminded me of is they look just like those Dropa stones that were found. You know the Dropa stones?
Yeah. They do.
They look,
but these things aren't stones. But when they flash, that doesn't it remind you of biological life, the way they communicate, certain like jellyfish, you know, other types of ocean faring, maybe even, you know, fireflies, they flash light too. Biologically,
yeah,
they're able to do it. Didn't it remind you more of something like that as opposed to some type of UFO, which, you know, like a ship.
It's like you're flying. It's like they're flying around like the curious, like, you know, bugs do to you. You know what I'm saying? Like swarming in.
They're like a swarm, like a school. They're like a school of some living organism that actually can live and reproduce and all in space, deep space. I don't think that's so far-fetched because life is very resilient.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, I mean we got these ruins on the moon and Mars. I mean somebody had to put them there.
Well, I think it was us. Now, of course, I think we had to. You know my theory about it. The Nephilim was involved as well, but so were some humanity. There were some, whether it be half humanity, quarter humanity, three quarter humanity, maybe even some, you know. All humanity. Maybe they were all human, too. Certainly, I think they had Nephilim blood. Because
now, when you say Nephilim, are you talking about the Anunnaki?
I believe the Anunnaki are Nephilim. I think they're definitely Nephilim. I think because they are biological and living and not immortal, they're not fallen angels. I think they are the children of fallen angels. I think they are definitely Nephilim. Nephilim, when I say Nephilim, it is what it is. It's the sons of God or the fallen angels who manipulated the life forms of Earth, of God's creation of Earth, and made a mockery of it and gave rise to a giants or what gigas. Now, the word gigas, where we get our word giant from, doesn't mean huge. It means earth or earthborn, you know. But gave rise to the Nephilim, which are, whether it's half, because you've got a lot of generations to go from the time it happened to the time of destruction when you tried to get rid of all of them, but he didn't quite get rid of all of them because some of them got heads up, I think, from Enoch and got the heck out of here and then came back and said, we're the Anunnaki, we're gods, and started to spread the lie and started the great deception. But definitely, I believe they are, you know. But there's a lot of, whether they're half human, half or quarter human, three quarter, whatever, or half reptile and half fallen angel, or half insect and half fallen angel, or whatever the mixture is, you know. Because they manipulated every life form. Yeah, well, they manipulated every life form on Earth. Not just the Homo sapien life form, but every life form, you know. They gave, you know, they were half insect, I guess half, or I say half, but half insect, half them as well. So you've got generations, maybe thousands of years, generations before the destruction, where they're procreating with each other, these Nephilim are.
Yes, that's true.
And totally tried to corrupt the bloodline of humanity, just get rid of all of humans. But failed because obviously Noah was perfect in his generations, meaning he was all human, all Homo sapiens. Anyway,
yes.
Looks like we're out of time.
Yeah, we are. All right. Well, it's been a good discussion, as always, and thank you for having me.
Well, also, thanks for being here, and we'll do another show right around the corner tomorrow, as quick as we can get to it. And, folks, here's another thing. We're going to be switching to a new format. We're going to be doing longer shows, probably starting within the next month or so, so we have to look forward to, because, Alex, I'm going to go ahead and sign up for the longer stuff, so longer shows, you know.
Great.
Dark pants. So, but anyway, Madman for Madman 2012, I think, everybody, and I am so out of here.
Not the UFO commander, out.
I'm pushing.
Cue the music.
Hoping this is make believe. I caught up your name in the rain. Why fuck you putting a shame? I'm crawling within my skin. Pulling this pain that ever end. I'm lost awakening within my torture that will now begin.